Biblical Theology, Chapter 1, Continued. The Sovereignty of God. The best statement of the sovereign plan of God is the summary in the Westminster Shorter Catechism. The decrees of God are His eternal purpose, according to the counsel of His will, whereby for His own glory He hath foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. The details of the plan of God are revealed clearly in Romans chapter 9 and Ephesians chapter 1 verse 11, in whom we also were called, having been foreordained according to the plan of Him who works out all things in conformity with the counsel of His will. These decrees of God are to be distinguished from God's will in regards to His commands and prohibitions, which are clearly laid out in His word. For example, the fall of man, which resulted from the command to not eat the fruit, was foreknown by God, but He is not the author of sin in any way. Mankind has free will and is responsible for their choices. The command of God was not to eat the fruit, yet He knew that man would eat the fruit. Jesus taught that His death was not an accident, but rather according to the foreordained and decreed plan of God. See Luke chapter 22, verse 22. Peter states regarding the crucifixion that Jesus was handed over to the people by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. Yet in neither of these cases are the sins of these people or the moral and spiritual consequences minimized. People are responsible for their choices, even though those choices were foreknown by God. Jesus said, "Woe to the person who betrayed Him," and Peter referred to the men as wicked who crucified Him. See Acts chapter 2, verses 22 through 24. The early church implicated Herod, Pontius Pilate, the Jews, and Gentiles in this awful deed, claiming that they had done what God's hand and will determined beforehand should happen. Again, this confirms that God knows the future because He decreed what would come to pass. We are predestined in one sense, in that all mankind is predisposed to sin because of the basic sin nature. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. According to Romans chapter 8, verse 29, however, God's predetermined plan is that we all be conformed to the image of His Son through salvation and the new birth experience. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. A sovereign God knows who will choose His plan and who will reject it, yet without violating man's free will. God is sovereign over all the world. He controls the physical universe. Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, and Acts chapter 14, verse 17. He controls animals. Psalm 147, verse 9, and Matthew chapter 6, verse 26. He controls nations. Daniel chapter 2, verses 38 through 39, chapter 4, verses 17 and 25, and Romans chapter 13, verse 1. He controls individuals. Galatians chapter 1, verses 15 to 16, Luke chapter 1, verse 52, Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, Matthew chapter 10, verse 30. He controls the destiny of the wicked. Psalm 11, verse 6. The purposes of God. God's purpose is not a vague purpose or a hoped-for purpose. The purpose of God is clearly communicated in His Word. Perhaps one of the best summaries of His purpose is given in the book of Ephesians. Here is God's statement of purpose. According to the eternal purpose, which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11, and chapter 1, verses 9 to 10. God wants to bring all men into right spiritual relationship with himself. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. God's purpose is that all people experience forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ, come into right relationship with him, and become part of the kingdom of God. See John chapter 3. The Bible assures that God's purposes will be accomplished. The Lord of hosts hath sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand. See Isaiah chapter 14, verse 24. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth, and this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. For the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? Isaiah chapter 14, verses 26 through 27. The plans of God. God not only has an established purpose, he implements plans to achieve that purpose. God uses individuals, nations, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the church to accomplish his plans. Individuals. From the beginning of time as we now know it, God has worked through individuals to accomplish his purposes. The Bible is filled with stories of how God used different men and women as part of his plan. In Old Testament times, God raised up great leaders like Noah, Abraham, Joseph, and Moses. He also anointed prophets, kings, and judges to accomplish his purposes. In New Testament times, God used individuals like John the Baptist, the disciples of Jesus, Paul, Timothy, Barnabas, and many others. God even took sinful men who had not conformed to his plan and reversed their evil plans to accomplish his purposes. God did not cause their sinful actions, but he worked through them and in spite of them to achieve his will. For example, God said regarding the wicked Pharaoh in Egypt, and in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up, for to shew in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. Exodus chapter 9, verse 16. Nations. In Old Testament times, God raised up the nation of Israel to accomplish his purpose in the world. As a nation, Israel was mandated to reveal God's plan to the heathen nations of the world. Repeatedly, they failed in this responsibility. Because of this, judgment came upon Israel through the heathen nations which lived around them. God was so determined to accomplish his plan that he worked through the evil acts of these sinful nations, although he did not condone their actions and held them accountable. Jesus Christ. Early in history, God promised a Savior, through whom forgiveness from sin would be available to all mankind. The promise was first given to Adam and Eve after their sin in the Garden of Eden. God said, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. This was the beginning of many promises of a Savior. For a long time, God did not reveal the details of how he would accomplish this plan. It was a great mystery. Later, in the time of the Old Testament prophets, God shared additional details of his plan. In New Testament times, these details were fulfilled, and the mystery revealed when God sent his only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for the sins of all mankind. No longer was God's plan a mystery. His plans and purposes were revealed openly in Jesus Christ, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 to 10. From childhood, Jesus knew God's purpose was to provide salvation for all mankind and restore all men and nations into fellowship with him. Jesus lived his life on earth to accomplish God's purposes. Even as a child, Jesus was concerned, not with his own plans and purposes, but with those of God the Father. When his parents thought he was lost and eventually found him, he said unto them, "How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" Luke chapter 2, verse 49. The ministry of Jesus focused on the purposes of God. Every plan, every decision, and every act focused on these purposes. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Luke chapter 4, verses 18 through 19. Jesus commissioned his followers, which includes all true believers, to fulfill God's purposes. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 to 20. The chapter on Christology in this study provides details on the ministry of Jesus. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is also part of God's plan. After Jesus returned to heaven, a special power was given in an outpouring of the Holy Spirit described in Acts chapter 2. This experience is called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit was given to accomplish God's purposes in the world. "But yet shall receive power, after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Acts chapter 1, verse 8. The Holy Spirit provides guidance and direction to believers to enable them to fulfill God's plans. Because the Holy Spirit knows the will of God, and because he searches and understands the spirit of man, he serves as the link between you and God to help you achieve these purposes. "And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Romans chapter 8, verse 27. The Holy Spirit works in partnership with you to accomplish God's will. As you speak God's words, he convicts unbelievers of sin, leading them to accept the gospel. See John chapter 16, verses 7 through 11. The chapter on pneumatology in this course provides additional teaching on the Holy Spirit. The Church. All true believers are part of the Church, which is now the instrument through which God works to accomplish his purpose and plans on earth, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent, this means it is God's purpose, that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the Church the manifold wisdom of God, or God's plan and purpose. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 9 to 10. God works in the lives of believers who are members of the Church to accomplish his purposes. "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure." Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. To do his good pleasure means he is working in you to accomplish his purposes in your life. This includes salvation, infilling of the Holy Spirit, using you to minister to others, and continuously conforming you to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." Romans chapter 6, verse 13. When you yield yourself to become instruments of righteousness unto God, It means you bring your life and ministry in harmony with His purposes and plans. By doing this, you become instruments through which He can work. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. We then as workers together with Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. If God does not work in you and through you, then all of your work is in vain. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Psalms 127, verse 1. Your ministry will not succeed unless it is built upon the eternal purposes of God rather than man. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. Acts chapter 5, verses 38 through 39. Additional teaching on God's plan for the church is provided in the chapter on ecclesiology in this course.